We got kind of a different show for you here tonight. A little more lighthearted. We did one of these last year, and it's actually our most listened to podcast on Spotify. But this time, we're talking about pro wrestling conspiracy theories, and these aren't just ones that I came up with. We decided to ask ChatGPT. You know, all the kids are using it nowadays to do their homework. So instead of doing research for my own podcast, I was like, you know what? I'll take a page out of the kids' books, you know, the Gen Z. And I'll have ChatGPT do all the work for me. I have 12 wrestling conspiracies, and you won't believe number two, because it's not even a wrestling conspiracy theory. They go through like the greatest hoops to connect it to it, and you'll see what it is. It's literally the second one we'll touch on. But
I'm excited for this. I know that I forget which podcast it was. You actually had the opening and closing.
That's the one we had to scrap because the audio was all messed up, so we never actually posted that one.
Well, never mind.
I forget which one it was. We literally had to re-record it like the following week.
That's the one where I woke up to pee at like 2-3 a.m. Well, I guess I didn't wake up. I probably went to pee because that was about the time we finished.
Yeah.
And then you said, we're going to have to redo that one. And I said, what was wrong? The mics? Was there static? Did it not record? It didn't record.
I think just everything went wrong with that one.
Yep.
So hopefully nothing goes wrong with this one. And maybe the AI is like infiltrating my computer after we get the recording to mess it up so we don't use their intellectual property or something. So I'm just going to read you these 12 conspiracy theories, and I'm just going to get your reaction. See how likely they are to have transpired. Some of these we covered in the first episode, so maybe a little bit of a retread, but that was over a year ago.
I mean, you know what good old JR used to say? Anything is possible in the WWE.
Well, this covers more than just the WWE.
Oh.
It goes universal.
Okay.
All right. Number one, pretty common wrestling conspiracy theory. That's covered by almost everybody now. I think one of the big believers of this was Scott Hall. Before he passed, and that is the Montreal Screwjob. This theory revolves around the controversial ending to the Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels match at the 1997 Survivor Series. Some believe it was a planned work, while others argue it was a genuine backstage power play. Now, quick plug: we did a two-parter of the Montreal Screwjob,
and
we kind of covered it pretty in depth. And from doing that, I do not think. The Montreal Screwjob being an inside job is very likely.
See, for a while, there's that little bit of you that thinks maybe, you know, Brett was in on it. But the older he gets and the more bitter he stays about it, I don't think he was in on it. I think
would have revealed it by now.
Oh, yeah, I think if Brett was actually in on it, I think we would have found out during the Owen tragedy. And I only say that because, I mean, we later found out about Pillman, you know, where it turned out Bischoff fired him, but he didn't really fire him, and he was supposed to come back. And that's almost what this sounds like. You know, Vince letting Brett go so he can make more money, creating a reason so Brett could get even more money, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think Brett would have, you'd have definitely told by now. Someone would have, maybe not Brett. I also think that with how close China was to, say, Triple H at one point in their career,
yeah,
and after she left the company, she might have spilled the beans.
The other thing is if it was a work of some sort, like, there would have been a payoff right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no payoff I could think of. WrestleMania 26 wasn't a payoff to Screwjob.
Sure it was. Brett wore jorts.
In a hockey jersey.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
I remember he wore a hockey jersey when he had the steel plate against Goldberg. See, it all ties itself to everything.
It all comes together. I like to see you try to tie this one to anything. The fake moon landing. There's a belief among some wrestling fans that the famous moon landing was staged, drawing parallels to scripted wrestling matches. So, is it a thing? Do wrestling fans think the moon landing was faked because wrestling is fake? Is that a...
Yes. I don't know. I mean, we've recently found out, I recently found out on Twitter this past week that George W. Bush actually met Harambe's mother. So, I mean,
Like the ape?
conspiracy. Yeah, there's a picture of him with Harambe's mom. So,
I got a picture of him with a monkey.
yeah.
Wow.
But it was Harambe's mom, like from the same zoo, and so I mean that those conspiracy theories intertwined. So why can't the moon landing and professional wrestling intertwine?
Well, if they're intertwined, we would have had a WrestleMania on the quote moon by now.
Sure, Vince wanted one.
Hulk Hogan slamming Andre in front of nobody, but on the oh, this picture? Okay, I see the picture now. This is an old picture. I thought he just like went there like yesterday. He was just like,
No.
hey, this is Harambe's mom.
But yeah, I think. I mean, could you imagine if Hogan slammed Andre on the moon? I mean, with Gravity Brother, Andre the Giant Brother, actually brother weighed this much, brother.
I slammed him right through the center of the moon, dude.
That's why there's a crater on the moon.
When you look up and you see that big crater on the moon, brother, you think of Hulkamania. Yeah, that I when I typed in what are some pro wrestling conspiracy theories on the chat GPT, and that was the second one that came up. I was thinking we were in some trouble. So I think two is a unlikely that the moon landing was faked. I don't want to get into the actual conspiracy of it, because we'd be here for like an hour and a half. You know, I love me some good
Yeah, and
conspiracy theory.
we're a pro wrestling podcast, not a cuckoo bananas podcast. So,
Cuckoo Bananas podcast. Roses are red, Harambe is in heaven. There's evidence that George Bush did 9/11. Okay, number three. CM Punk's pipe bomb promo. Some fans speculate that CM Punk's infamous pipe bomb promo in 2011, where he seemingly went off script, was a planned work by the company to create buzz. I thought that was
Didn't
pretty
it,
well known that it
I say,
was.
didn't it turn out that they, I mean, the whole thing wasn't a work, but they gave him like bullet points and he just went with it?
I was under the impression that the unscripted part of it was true, and they're like, just say whatever grievances you had like with the company, and like that would be the storyline for you to leave. And then he did such a like cut such a great promo, and it got so much fire that like, oh well, we'll actually resign you real quick, then you can win. That's how I my understanding of the events. I don't even think they even gave him like bullet points. It was kind of like the Miz's work shoot from a couple of years ago. I think it was the same thing. They were just like, you know, you're frustrated. Just go and just say what's pissing you off, and then everyone will they think it's a work or think it's a shoot. But in reality, it is a work, brother. To work yourself into a shoot, dude.
Everything is a work.
Is it the Montreal screw job? So yeah, CM Punk's pipe bomb promo certainly was planned to a degree by the company. He didn't grab the microphone and cut a promo on his own accord. Like he asked, like they obviously set up the cameras for him to do it. So I like it's just I don't know, just knowing how a TV show is produced, I guess. The fourth one, we kind of already covered it for a little bit. The death of Owen Hart. There are conspiracy theories surrounding the tragic death of Owen Hart during the WWE pay-per-view event in 1999, with some questioning the circumstances and official reports.
What
this is a podcast we're going to be doing next year.
part do they think is the conspiracy theory in it that they like that?
I think I don't even want to say like the conspiracy is that it was done on purpose, 'cause I don't think it was. I just think there it was. I'm trying to think of the right word here. Negligent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that normally I think Dark Side of the Ring does a terrible job of actually explaining, but the one on Owen showed the carabiner that was used, and it wasn't one that was supposed to hold a lot of weight. The one that he had was pretty much like a keychain
Yeah, that releases with
carabiner.
5 pounds of pressure or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is something we're gonna deep dive next year, by the way. Because next year's the 25th anniversary of that, so it'll kind of be like a part two to our Montreal Screwjob. Because those two, as much as some people don't want to admit it, they're more connected than you think.
Yeah, and I mean, you said 5 pounds of pressure. If we learned anything from Jason Sensation pretending to be Owen, that nose itself is 5 pounds.
Jesus. They should do more stuff like that now.
Yeah.
Just bring in just like random just comedians just to be entertaining, you know?
I did it! I did it, Brett!
The fifth one. I don't even know what the Oh, this is like an in-story conspiracy, I guess.
Okay.
The higher power.
Yeah.
During the Attitude Era, WWE teased a mysterious higher power controlling the Undertaker and others. Fans speculated on the identity, leading to numerous theories. So this isn't really the outside the ring conspiracy. It's just like
Okay.
conspiracies during that time, and I wasn't alive at the time, I don't think. I don't think either of us were. I don't know
No.
who fans would speculate was the higher power.
A
Was
lot of fans speculated it was Christopher Daniels because on the Indies he was the Fallen Angel, and this kind of went with that gimmick at the time. They also speculated it could have been Father James Mitchell, who is of course the Sinister Minister. He was in ECW. He managed Tajiri and Mikey Whipwreck and the Unholy Alliance. He then went to TNA slash Impact, and he managed the likes of like Abyss, Judas Macias, the New Church. I think he recently wrapped up there again. The other name that I'd heard was actually what's he called now? Don Callis. There was a lot of stuff Don Callis was supposed to do in the WWE in the late 90s, and it kind of just got pushed to the wayside. There's the Truth Commission. That kind of fell apart. There was this higher power angle. Him and Rick the Model Martel were supposed to be a couple of models, but Rick Martel left. I think there's he managed the Acolytes for a second. There's a lot he was supposed to just didn't come through. I'm assuming this is one of those instances where they had someone picked for it.
Yeah.
And it fell through, and kind of like years later, where they filmed those vignettes for Undertaker turning or for Sting returning at WrestleMania, and then Sting was like, not gonna do it. So they put Undertaker to a spot. They're supposed to have someone be the higher power, and when it didn't work, they're like, shit, who do we do? And it somehow made sense to be Vince. I'm wondering, based on just the character, the higher power itself being demonic. Oh, I'm wondering if they're. I mean, Kevin Sullivan's one that it could have been. I don't think he was an on-screen character at WCW at this point. He was the Taskmaster, Devil Worshipper gimmick. He led multiple stables like that previously. I mean, it could have made sense. But it was me, Austin. It was me all along.
Yeah, well, think of the ramifications of that if somehow Kevin Sullivan makes it over to WWF at that time instead of being in WCW to pitch the storyline where Benoit and Woman get together.
Well, that would have already happened.
Well, would it?
Yeah, he lost a retirement match to Benoit, and then that's how he got written off TV, and then he became like a writer producer. The real ramification would have been the Radicals all left because Kevin Sullivan became Booker. So if he wouldn't have been there, maybe they wouldn't have left. And then, you know, there's a lot of what ifs. I mean, there's maybe some positive what ifs, like Perry Saturn's career wouldn't have died. You know, maybe. I mean, there's a slim chance the Benoit stuff might not have happened, depending on how soon he did or didn't start seeing a specific doctor. But then on the negative side of things, I mean, because Eddie Guerrero got fired that first time from WWE, he turned his life around. So if he didn't go to WWE sooner rather than later, I mean, there's a chance maybe he would have passed sooner rather than later. The only one that's really unaffected by all this is Dean Malenko.
Well, I won't say nothing mean about Dean. This next one, you might have to do some explaining to me because I don't think he ever hit any of them, or he's not the only one that would. John okay. Cena's hidden injuries. Some fans believe that WWE can steal John Cena's injuries and keep him in action and maintain his tough image.
I don't know of any that he hid.
Yeah.
And I know there was quite a few that he made known, and people were like, why are you still wrestling? Like when he had that lump in his arm.
Yeah.
But I don't know of any that he hid from people. I know he came back from some really quickly, but I don't think that's him hiding it. This just sounds like there was someone on the internet that was upset that John Cena is a good guy, and like there's gotta be a reason.
Fuck him.
Yeah. He's no Hulk Hogan.
Well, I think the real conspiracy there would be how he recovered from them in record time.
Yeah.
No way that it's natural.
Well, and then
I don't want to say
even with him recording or him recovering that fast. I mean, normally when someone rushes back from injury, you can kind of tell they're a little sluggish, or maybe they get hurt soon after. That didn't really happen to John. You didn't really see Cena start getting sluggish until, I mean, really, he came back and fought Roman this last time.
I wouldn't even say necessarily sluggish. He was kind of just
going sluggish for him,
going through the motions. Yeah, but even then, I wouldn't even say that. Now here's one that you're familiar with: the death of Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Bruiser Brody, a popular wrestler, was tragically stabbed to death backstage during a wrestling event in Puerto Rico in 1988. Yeah. Some fans believe there was a cover-up or mishandling of the investigation surrounding his death. Was it a cover-up, Logan?
Oh, 100%. I mean, just to get into it quickly, multiple sources said that Brody wanted to buy into a promotion. Because he was always one of them that, you know, he wanted good paydays. He wanted the boys good paydays. He had good ideas. He wanted to pitch those ideas. At the time, most of the profitable territories were already owned by someone. Puerto Rico, he was looking to buy into. The gentleman that stabbed him, Bruiser Brody, actually roughed up, I believe it was in the WWF, and the guy threatened to get revenge on him. Tony Atlas says that Bruiser Brody, went into the showers with Invader One, and he heard him scream, and he came out, and he was holding where he was stabbed, and Invader One was going to stab him again, and supposedly cut the ponytail off Bruiser Brody. I think that's Dark Side of the Ring, making this a Hollywood story. Tony Atlas said once he got back from the hospital, Invader One and then Carlos Colon, who was the primary owner, and then someone else was kind of sitting around while the cops were investigating, and the cops were told it was a crazed fan. So clearly nobody in the locker room, including Dirty Dutch Mantel, admitted what actually happened, even though they saw it. I think all the guys in that locker room, minus Tony Atlas, who went with Bruiser Brody to the hospital, I think those two are the only ones with a spine in that locker room. Because everyone else either was scared because of the guy with a knife, which if you're a pro wrestler at this time, you're supposed to be a Billy Badass. I don't know why they didn't try and take him down. Or they got paid off. Because all the stories you hear about people getting pissed off in the ring, like the Iron Sheik, or getting pissed off in general and leaving, like Abdullah, they were in the other locker room. So it's ironic that the babyface locker room contains the murderer and the cover-up. The other part that makes me think it's a cover-up is Tony Atlas and Dutch Mantel both said they were supposed to be called to be, like, witnesses. Or not called, they were supposed to get letters and brought back to be witnesses. They got the letters after the trial had already taken place. I don't doubt it. I think there's a lot of cover-ups. I certainly blame Carlos Colon. I still, with everything I've read and seen, think Dutch Mantel is kind of a spineless little just cretin. And I know Invader One did it. Even in the newspaper, Puerto Rico tried saying it was self-defense. So they admit he stabbed him. But then if you watch any interview about Bruiser Brody or even read his book that his wife put out called Brody, he's one of the kindest guys you could meet unless you wronged him. But I don't think Invader One is going to wrong him in the shower that quickly. I think he was called in there to be killed.
This is a really dumb one. I don't know why ChatGPT is including this one. The Undertaker's supernatural powers. Throughout his career, The Undertaker has portrayed a supernatural character. Some fans speculate his powers and abilities are more than just a gimmick and suggest that real supernatural elements are at play.
Where? When?
I guess it's normal for people to shoot lightning out of their fingertips and set stuff on fire. So even
ChatGPT thinks wrestling fans are stupid.
Yeah, well, I probably talked to a couple of wrestling fans and put two and two together.
Yeah. Like you said, lightning bolts, fire, dying and coming back, being buried alive. Wasn't it revealed he's the one who killed Kane's parents?
Yeah. We say he set the house on fire.
Yeah. So that's, so he murdered people. He put Paul Bearer in the cement.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker did all that. And it's okay.
Do you ever get like slapped in the face, like, not like physically, but like you're on social media somewhere, like you're following somebody on, you don't use TikTok, but I'll use TikTok for my example. Like you follow somebody on TikTok or Instagram, and like the world of wrestling like crosses over to them, but you know they're not a wrestling fan. Like I had this girl that I follow on TikTok, and she posted this video of, they went to Raw last Monday as a whatever. They just went. And they treated it like a joke. Like, they got drunk beforehand. Like, they were pre-gaming. And they just sat there and just laughed the whole time. And then, like you see something like that as a wrestling fan. And it kind of just, like, hits you. Like, oh, 95% of the population in this world think this is the stupidest shit ever. Which is why I don't understand the need of some wrestling fans, like especially content creators. I got like halfway through, I don't know if you've seen it in your YouTube recommended, the unreality of pro wrestling. It's like a hour and a half long.
Nope.
Well, now that I said it's gonna show up next time you log on.
Oh yeah.
But it's like a I didn't finish it because I'm kind of just like over like the whole video essay trend on YouTube right now. But they're just trying to make like this point of like, oh, the Roman Reigns career, it's cinema. This is why it's cinema. It's so great because it's such a great story. So I got to tell it from beginning to end and make it all things to try to appeal to like a general audience. And why would you even ever really want to do that? Like, what's the purpose of trying to get people that don't like wrestling or don't watch wrestling to come into wrestling? I think that defeats the point. The thing we love about wrestling is like the relationship you had. Like, there's friends in your life that are wrestling friends and non-wrestling friends. The friends you have in your life that you know watch wrestling, you kind of have like a different connection with them because, like, oh, we both like this thing that's constantly going on at all times and always changing, and it's always something we can talk about.
So I feel like the best way to describe wrestling fans talking to non-wrestling fans is the Family Guy episode where Lois is running for the spot. I forget which government it is, if it's local or whatever. And she says buzzwords like 9/11,
yeah,
America.
Yeah.
I think that when non-wrestling fans, or when wrestling fans talk to non-wrestling fans, all they hear is The Rock, Hulk Hogan, John Cena, fake fighting, aha, that one guy laughing gif, aha, you know, Stone Colds, and just shit like that. Like, we can be talking, we can do paragraphs on paragraphs, and they just hear the little, the basics, the simple basics. Hogan knows best. Whoa, Total Divas. Aha, ha, 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 up, up, down, down. And I know they don't pay attention. But the other thing that'll bother me about non-wrestling fans is you can be like, oh, you want to watch this part of wrestling? They're like, no, it's stupid. But then they'll be the first, if something like really ridiculous appears on Twitter or on Facebook, they'll send it to you and be like, you watch this? it's not all that. There's more to it. This is why I don't watch it. I'm sure it is. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just something that's been bothering me ever since I watched that. It's, let's try to I don't want people that don't like wrestling to like, I don't want to try to convince them to like it now.
I don't want to have to explain the lore.
It's not even that. Like, I just,
that's what I don't want. I don't. Whoa, so this Roman Reigns is The Rock's cousin?
Yep.
And so are those Usos? Yep. I read their dad's a wrestler. Yep.
Yep.
And his brother? Yep. And their cousin was a champion? Yep. He beat Hulk Hogan? Yep. Well, tell me about it. No. Alright, spend the $5. Get Peacock. Watch the content. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you don't even have to do that. Just start watching and learn. Anyway, yeah, like I said, I'm tired of content creators just like, oh, this is cinema. This is real TV. You guys that don't watch it don't get it. But yeah, they don't get it. That's why they don't watch it. So, this next one, I know for sure we talked about the last conspiracy episode we did. The Randy Savage and Stephanie McMahon rumor.
And I'm just curious, because all conspiracy theories start with a little bit of truth, right? Like something, like what made someone say this? Is there a picture of Randy and Stephanie that's a little like risque?
I don't think so.
Did someone hate Randy Savage that much that they're like, "Hey Vince, you know he slept with your daughter." What? Yeah, he slept with your daughter. Don't bring him back to the company. Well, you're damn right I won't bring him back to the company. Thank you, Vince. Or was this something like Stephanie McMahon in school? It's like, ooh, all those wrestlers are so cute. Stephanie, have you slept with one? Randy Savage. What?
Hey.
He dropped an elbow on my buzzy.
Well, let's see. Let's just like do math here, because I think we literally think we did this last time. So Savage left WWF in what, 94?
Yes.
94. So that's like the latest rumors could have happened.
Yep.
And Stephanie was born in 1976.
Okay.
So it would have to happen the very last year she was there. Because she just turned 18 in 1994. Unless something illegal was happening and Savage is a.
No.
I don't want to say the word. I don't want to get
He's
demonetized.
not.
So, I.
He's a good boy.
Well, I think also, I think the theory has kind of stayed relevant because of the memes behind Stephanie's name. That's like, it's an anagram
Yeah.
for Macho Man Penis. So I like that. Like that can't just be like. Just, how does that even happen?
That's a goodie.
Oh, okay. The sportsrush.com posted this article. Savage's ex-girlfriend revealed something that stirred the world of wrestling. Macho Man's ex-girlfriend Stephanie Bellar later revealed that Randy spoke about Stephanie McMahon inadvertently to her during a drug trip. Oh, he told me one day when we were on ecstasy on the beach. I think he didn't mean to tell me that. And like the next morning he goes, "Did I tell you anything last night on the beach?" I'm like, "You sure did." He knew exactly what he said. He was like, "Shit," because it was kind of like the truth drug. And once he got on that, he starts telling me everything. It is what it is. She knows and he knows what it all was. According to Bellar, Randy had I didn't know how to pronounce this word. A liking for younger girls, as he had once fantasized about having a three-way with her and her sister.
Jesus.
It goes on that there's heat between Savage and McMahon and Triple H.
I don't know why Triple H is involved. Like, I know that's his wife,
Well, during an interview
but.
with a magazine, Triple H asked his opinion on Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, to which the game said, "They are great, but they are dinosaurs."
Oh, yeah. He definitely has heat with Savage for sleeping with Stephanie. That's why he called him a dinosaur.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Well, this is just one of those things that will never get.
If, again, if this was real, I feel like somehow this would have been talked about during the Attitude Era. Like, somehow someone would have found out, and then they'd have been like, "Hey, Vince, you know Stephanie slept with Savage?" And he'd be like, "That's good shit, pal. Austin, bring up that my daughter had sex with Randy Savage."
Oh yeah. Vince would probably like go for it. He probably would want to be there. Fucking pervert.
Actually, he'd probably want The Rock to do it. "Rocky, tell her you're gonna drop an elbow on her like Savage dropped one in her." Oh, yeah.
Dutch Mantel on
Oh, God.
Storytime. Dutch Mantel says it was
Yep.
accepted as fact
Of course it was, because Dutch Mantel is an idiot.
WWE Hall of Famer Macho
Dirty
Man Randy
Dutch.
Savage was allegedly told to stay clear of Stephanie McMahon backstage,
Dirty Dutch, more
according
like
to a
dumbass
wrestling
Dutch.
veteran. This is the same thing from Dutch Mantel. This is his quote. It wasn't a rumor. It was basically, if I can say this, it was more or less accepted as fact. Because who said that if you say it enough that the rumor becomes the fact? It was repeated over and over and over again. But at the end, I think Randy and Vince, I think before Randy went to WCW, I think that kind of bothered Vince on a personal level, and he got mad at Randy. That's why they said Randy would never ever be in the Hall of Fame. That changed later on. But it wasn't just a rumor, it was really an accepted, almost statement of fact that Randy had been told or advised, not by Vince, but say Pat or some of their agents, Chief J Strongbow, or to kind of stay clear of Stephanie and why, I don't know, she may have said something like she likes him and they got back to Vince. Well, Vince knowing what he knows goes on, knowing what he knows goes on between males and females. Sex. Why would he say it like that? Well, you know what goes on between males and females, don't you, Dutch?
Sex, Dutch. It's
Sex.
sex.
I know you don't have any Dutch, but
Yeah,
us
you a Stabity
McMahons,
Sam looking fuck.
us McMahons, we fuck. Maybe want to protect his little daughter, which I don't blame him for that. But I think Randy did cross the line. I think he did cross the equator and may have dallied a little bit with Stephanie. Can I say it was true? No, I can't say it was true. It was just a given. And you can call it a rumor. I've always heard that story. I never asked Savage about it. I wish I had now. Yeah,
Randy Savage
so
would
you
have
can
kicked
blare it
his
all over your
ass.
podcast, Dutch.
Randy Savage would have open hand slapped him like the bitch he is. And then he'd have just spat on him. Dutch Mantel is the lowest common denominator for anything. He was a mid-card worker who every so often snuck into the main event scene because the territory needed a heel. And now he runs a goddamn podcast where he thinks he knows everything because he's been in the industry for 100 years. He's not Jerry Lawler. He's not Jim Cornette. He hasn't been at the epicenter of everything. He's always been to the outside. Dumb shit. Conspiracy theory number 13: Dutch Mantel is a good wrestler or a good trainer. That's a conspiracy theory in itself.
I was just about to say something. Oh, this doesn't seem to be too popular among I want to say like sane wrestling fans. That might be the best word for it. A Reddit
This
thread
is
that was posted just a couple months ago that people were asked was asked do you believe that this rumor is true? This guy gives a pretty good answer at the top of 4-1. We went through several decades of shoot interviews full of people willing to say any dumb shit on camera to make a buck.
Yeah.
So it was true. And wrestlers are professional liars. Their whole career is a lie. So that's what they're paid to do. So they'll lie on camera for $20, and then well, even back then, it was before the internet really took off. It was all on tapes too. So they probably didn't think it would get out as widespread as it did. But let's move on to the next one. I think we talked about Macho Man and Stephanie for quite a long time. Macho Man podcast coming out soon too. By the way, make sure you check that out. I don't think we're gonna cover him sleeping with Stephanie though. I think that was gonna get axed for time. I don't really believe it. I think they're just stupid people. The WCW conspiracy. Towards the end of WCW's existence, there's theories that some decisions and storylines were purposely made to sabotage the company from within.
No.
Yeah, I don't really think so either. I just think Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo and everybody else that were over there, I think they just had bad ideas.
Well, you had a rotating door of writers, producers, essentially owners, and between injuries, people leaving, the wrong people coming in, bad decisions happen. But you can tell, especially at the end, they're on the right track. It's just a matter of it had already bludgeoned so much money that the old time Warner said, "No, we don't want this," and Vince was able to buy it
for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Now I think, besides Eric Bischoff's 83 weeks, like during that time, he not necessarily wasn't a genius in booking, I would say.
No.
And neither was Vince Russo. Vince Russo had crazy ideas. He had good ones when he had somebody to keep him in line. But if you have nobody to keep him in check and like, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this certain thing. It kind of got off the rails. And that's how we end up with him winning the WCW championship and David Arquette and the finger poke of doom. That's how all these things happen. He goes unchecked.
Yep. Yeah, he needs Vince McMahon to filter his ideas.
Now this next one, down to our last two here. This last one I think is pretty much a fact. The WWE's wellness policy. Some fans question the effectiveness and fairness of WWE's wellness policy, which tests for substances like steroids and drugs, suggesting that certain top stars might receive preferential treatment.
Well, I do know that if you're considered part-time, you don't have to take them.
Right.
So, Brock doesn't have to take it. Cena wouldn't have to take it. Technically, I don't think Orton would at this point. Edge. I wouldn't say top stars always get special treatment. If you remember, there was that round of suspensions with Batista, Edge, Orton, Booker, I think.
Well, that was right after. That's when there was like a giant. The entire media was looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're kind of back in the corner at that time. But let's say like back to like 2009, like anybody that's worth a damn, like Triple H, Cena. They're not getting fucking suspended or being treated the same as if somebody like, I don't know, Kozlov getting popped.
I also think that your mid-card people are the ones that you could definitely tell were juicing. Like your masters.
Yeah.
I mean, Kozlov, things like that. And it's because they wanted to get noticed. I think Cena's pretty much clean. Orton could probably chalk his up to injuries since he popped his shoulder out taking recycling out to the goddamn curb. just things like that. But yeah, I've always felt that they've gotten special treatment or somewhat special treatment anyway when I found out that part-timers didn't have to get drug tested. But it's not just WWE. If you remember, UFC didn't drug test Brock Lesnar since he wasn't under an official contract. It was like a one-and-done match with Mark Hunt. They're like, yeah, it's fine. We just want money.
Yeah. I don't care if you are juicing or not. I prefer you to be, actually, now that we're talking about it. Do you need some steroids? I got some in the drawer over here. Here, pull your pants down. I'll shove it in your ass. Get over here. And this last one isn't really a conspiracy theory. I don't know why they put two CM Punk ones. CM Punk's WWE return after CM Punk left WWE in 2014. Fans speculated about his potential return and whether there were secret negotiations happening between him and the company. Not really a conspiracy, so I don't really want to cover too much. It's just I don't think there was no negotiations.
No, I think there's feelers put out from people within WWE.
Way later, was thinking there's more of like right after it happened, like in within the year of 2014, and Punk even admitted that he, like, he's at originally he was only suspended until after Mania.
Yeah.
So he said he was waiting for the call to come back, and it never came through, and then he got fired on his wedding day, and the rest is history. So I don't think any negotiations actually ever would ever actually happen. So
no, I don't think any true like corporate negotiations. I think friends of Punk within the company, like your Paul Heymans, who still somewhat had a pull, tried to keep in touch with him. Because I think, imagine if you were the guy that was able to convince Vince to bring Punk back. Unless Punk totally fucked it up. But, I mean, with how he's done in AEW, there's a chance. But if he didn't fuck it up, you'd be looked at pretty good. You'd have just cashed your ticket with Vince. But, yeah, I don't think Vince or Laurinaitis or whoever else, Mark Carano, fucked the Punk. Even though this is one of the better ways someone's walked out, Vince probably felt he was burnt. Vince, since he gave Punk a heavyweight title, felt, you know, oh, I've given him the world. Why isn't he repaying me? And like you said, the rest is history.
I think the bigger conspiracy, which we probably won't find out, or at least not for years, is if he actually had any intentions of going to WWE this past time after the All Out media scrum incident. I don't know. He says he didn't. He said he was always planning on coming back, but I don't think that's 100% the truth either. So I think that'd be the bigger.
I think Sam Punk's just a dirty little liar.
He ain't a truther. I'll say that. I don't think there's many wrestlers that tell the truth. Well, I think this new generation, I think they do a little bit better job. But if there's any hint that there's something out there that can make them look bad,
oh yeah,
they're lying through their fucking teeth. Another conspiracy I have, I'm just throwing real quick because I literally have no other platform to talk about it. I think Matt Cardona is a copier. I think he's stealing gimmicks from people. I could be just recklessly speculating right now because I did not do no research to figure out when he started doing this gimmick compared to the other guy. But I don't know if you've seen online. Well, you might have because it's mostly on Twitter. The Blue Kane gimmick.
Okay.
I just so happened to see that. Then, like a week later, he has an Undertaker like gimmick.
Oh, the Indie Taker?
Yeah.
What happened with that is everyone always, they kept calling him Zack Ryder. And he'd be like, Zack Ryder's dead, Zack Ryder's dead. So then he did a Z True Island, or whatever the fuck you call it, where he was Zack Ryder again. His manager was her old NXT gimmick. And then, I didn't watch all of it, but afterward he like walks, and it's like Vince McMahon getting in the limo.
Oh, okay.
And it shows the limo exploding, and then he became the Indie Taker. Because, you know, he's a dead man. It's just a coincidence that it came back around the same time, that he did that around the same time as Blue Kane. I think he probably dove into it a little more because of Blue Kane, hoping to get an Indie Taker versus Blue Kane match. But it looks like WWE has redacted Blue Kane, so...
yeah. Nothing more powerful than the WWE's lawyers and protecting their intellectual property.
I mean, especially one of a corrupt government official.
True. Yeah, don't want him looking bad or feeling.
Yeah.
Or have people thinking that he's working the indies. So, mm-hmm. I know. We mentioned it in the beginning. We had in a previous episode a ChatGPT. Intro and outro that never seen the light of day. I have another one. so
okay,
we don't have to starve our fans of what they missed out on. It's pretty much the same thing. So this is the PWP outro, according to ChatGPT. And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Pro Wrestling Proverbs Podcast. We hope you enjoy diving into the world of wrestling, wisdom, and uncovering the timeless lessons from the squared circle. If you're looking to wear your love for pro wrestling on your sleeve, be sure to check out our Etsy store, where you'll find a fantastic selection of unique wrestling-themed merchandise to showcase your passion for the sport. Stick with us on all social medias for latest updates, behind-the-scenes sneak peeks, and engaging discussions about all things wrestling. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Threads, and TikTok.
It's got Threads on there already? Hell yeah!
At PW Proverbs, or at Pro Wrestling Proverbs. Thank you for being a part of our wrestling community. And remember, in and out of the ring, life's got its own proverbs to teach us. Keep. I gotta get through it. Hold on. Remember, in and out of the ring, life's got its own proverbs to teach us. Keep grappling with challenges and celebrating victories, just like your favorite wrestling heroes. Until next time, fans, keep the passion for wrestling burning strong.